Welcome to Hebron Free Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. We are here for our worship service, and I trust as you tune in today that you will be blessed as we worship God together. We're going to listen to the 84th Psalm being sung together. If you're following it in your hymn book at home, it's page 77. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. Psalm 84. Amen. We come to our psalm for today. It's the Psalm 18. It's one of the long psalms. There are 50 verses in this particular chapter of God's Word. I think there's only three other psalms in the entire Psalter longer than this one. We're going to read the opening 20 verses together. You'll see that it is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and this is what we read, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. As the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless these verses of this psalm to every heart for Jesus' sake. We'll bow together in prayer and seek the face of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to be in worship together. We thank thee that we can come to the Lord today. We can appear before his holy presence. We can worship him in the beauty of holiness just where we are. Myself as the preacher here in the church, and our people and the congregation out there sitting listening in on the internet. Father, we can lift our hearts. We can lift our voices in united praise to thee and praise God from whom all blessings flow. We come into the courts of God this day with thanksgiving in our heart. We long for your presence. We pray for your help. We ask thee for the blessed Spirit of God to be poured out upon each one as we worship together. We pray for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be uplifted and magnified as a result of this Sabbath day here in Hebron and throughout the Free Church, as our various congregations under difficult circumstances are meeting to worship the God of glory. We pray that your word that goeth forth out of your mouth will not return unto thee void as thou hast promised, but will accomplish much for your glory. For thou hast said that it will prosper in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. And Lord, we pray for that prospering of the word of God. We pray that thou wilt bless the preaching of your word and the preaching of the gospel today. We thank thee for the opportunities already to serve the Lord, for the little video cast that has gone out already this morning, for the Sunday school that has taken place, for our Bible class too. All these things we give thanks for, the opportunity to serve God in these ways. And we pray that the blessing of God will attend that which has already taken place in this Sabbath day. Thank thee again for the opportunity to meet with people in Pakistan over the internet and to bring a message to them this morning. And we do pray that you'll bless and edify the saints of God there, and that you will call sinners out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Christ. We remember these days in which we live with the COVID-19 virus across the nations of this world. We know that we've been setting this matter before thee every day, and we've been crying for the intervention of God. And Lord, we do ask thee in Jesus' name that thou wilt come and visit our nation, that thou wilt stay this plague, that thou wilt bring us back to normality as soon as possible. We long for that day when we can meet again here in the house of God, when the congregation can gather together for the worship of God and be together in a physical sense. And Lord, we pray that that day will be very soon, and that you will so move in the country in ridding us of this plague, and so direct our governments as they give advice, as they listen to the medical experts on this matter. Lord, as they give the right guidance, as they make the right decisions, we pray that it will be for the glory of God and for the good of your church. We ask thee that thou wilt remember the cause of the gospel in these days. We do rejoice that we hear of souls being saved through the land and further afield. We thank thee that God is still working. The devil perhaps thought that he would shut down churches and that the gospel would be stopped with this virus. But how we praise thee that the gospel has still gone forth through this land and further afield, and sinners have been converted to Christ, and the devil's plans have been thwarted. O God, thou hast promised to build your church, and we pray that you will build it, that you will add to it every day such as should be saved. And may it please God, even this day, through the work of Hebron, that some sinner will be drawn unto Christ. We thank thee that God uses his word. It's the means of grace to reach men with the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We thank thee for raising up preachers and sending them forth into the world to proclaim Christ. And Lord, we ask thee for success in the gospel this very Sabbath day. We are mindful that there are those that are struggling with health issues and with sorrow in these days, with affliction, and they suffer. And we want to commit them particularly into your care. Remember the church family. Remember each one, Lord, where they are with their own particular troubles, trials, and tribulations. We pray that you will give them grace to help them, to bring them through every difficulty. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ comes near to us in such times. And you have encouraged us and exhorted us to call upon God in the day of trouble, and thou wilt deliver us. And so encourage and bless and strengthen your people. Those that are sick, restore them to health. Those that have been injured, bring healing to their bodies. And those that are in sorrow today, Lord, we pray that you will bind up the sorrowful spirit and the broken heart. So, Lord, continue with us now as we continue to worship our God in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the hymn 394, we're going to listen to this hymn sung together, reminding us that only Christ can satisfy. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, no other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee.
Thank you.
Amen. As always, we trust that that will be a blessing to the congregation as we listen to what we have sung in the past. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. We take this opportunity to bid you welcome to the house of God as you tune in with us today on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Welcome in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be meeting later on this evening at 7 o'clock for the gospel service, and I hope to preach on the great sacrifice of Christ. Pray for us. We can't have our prayer meetings collectively in these days. We hope that that will come back soon. But at home, please remember us personally, individually, and also as your family pray today that the blessing of God will rest upon these meetings that are conducted. We've been asked to mention that there is an online youth meeting tonight entitled Redeeming the Time, and the speaker is the Reverend Woods. And there'll be special singing by Stephen Greer, and that's tonight at 8:30. So if you tune in to Newton Abbey Free Church, you'll be able to hear that. Tuesday night is our Youth Challenge link-up at 7 o'clock. Thursday night is the midweek service, as in the will of God we continue with the study in the Psalm 40. Friday evening, the FPC Kids is at 7 o'clock, and then our own youth fellowship meeting by Zoom is at 8 o'clock on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, we're broadcasting our Sabbath school at 11, our Bible class at 11, and our worship service 12 noon, and the gospel service at 7 o'clock. I'll be here to preach. Next Lord's Day would have normally been our Children's Day, but that has been put back for one more week. So it'll be on the last Sabbath of this month. And we're looking forward to that. It's to give a little bit more time to bring it together. And we hope to have children participating. And our sister Joyce Walsh will be the speaker. That's in 2 weeks' time at our Children's Day. Do remember, we're here to help you in these days of the virus. If you need help in any kind of way, please get in touch with myself, with our home missioner, with the office bearers of the church. Once again, we thank you for your faithfulness and giving to the Lord's work as you worship God in your tithes and offerings, as you support every other aspect of church life here. Let the Bible Speak, the missionary covenant support, the building fund, the school, and everything else. Thank you in the Saviour's name. I'd like also to acknowledge some gifts that have come in for various aspects of God's work. For the Christian school, we got a very substantial gift of £900, and we want to acknowledge that and thank those concerned. We received a £20 gift for Deborah House, and then for the work in Pakistan, two gifts of £50 and two other gifts of £200. Thank you in the Lord's name. For the Indian orphanage work, or for the orphans as we seek to feed them, £40, £200, £600, and another £200. And again, we thank you sincerely. And then there was a very substantial gift came in for the Hebron Church of £2,500. And we want to acknowledge that. Thank you sincerely for it. And we trust that God will bless you in your giving. It's been a great encouragement to us. Now, in these days, we are very happy to make some good announcements and encouraging announcements. We want to congratulate Alex Bernabeu. I'm sure he'll want me to do that, but we want to do it anyhow, who celebrated his 30th birthday on Monday. Continue to pray for the Lord's servant as he and Vanessa and the family are still making plans for the autumn time, October time perhaps, leaving Ulster, going over to the work in Spain and taking up the ministry there in Corticus Nuevas. There's a lot of things to come together, and we pray that that will be so and that guidance will be given. Also to Rebecca McCauley. Rebecca McCauley was 21 just on Wednesday there, and we congratulate her and rejoice with her. Rebecca, the Lord bless you and keep you and encourage you. And then we'd also like to send congratulations to Ewell and Arlene Carson, who celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary on Thursday past, the 11th of June. Trust the Lord will bless them and be pleased to give them many more years together. Now, I want to mention holiday Bible clubs. It's the summer approaching now, and that means it's time for the holiday Bible clubs. But you know how we're operating with COVID-19, and we're not able to have these in a physical sense. But the FPC kids are running two virtual holiday Bible clubs over the summer. And the first one will be from Monday the 20th to Friday the 24th of July. And then there'll be another one in mid-August. The date of that is to be confirmed. The clubs will begin each day at 10 o'clock. And there will be singing, quizzes, Bible stories, crafts, and more. So we make that announcement that you can put it into your diary, that you can pray for it, this effort that will be made by the Mission Board. We continue to pray for the intervention of God in our nation. The death rate of COVID-19 is reducing. It's still there. We're still very fearful that there'll be a second wave of this. So we continue in prayer before the Lord. We know what our desire is. We know what our will is. We've expressed it already today and many other times. We want to be back here in the house of God as far as church services are concerned. We want to be together, and we will be looking to the government for guidance in this matter, and when it's suitable, we will certainly get back into the church building again. Continue to pray for the frontline services, the doctors, nurses, the anaesthetists, radiographers, paramedics, hospital workers, care workers, and the police service at this time. For the sick and the needy of the congregation. Sister Valerie Morrow had spent time in hospital and getting tests done, and still more investigation needs to be made. But she got out of hospital and she's in good form. We pray that the Lord will be upon her body for good and bring healing. Barbara Strong is still in hospital. She will be anxious to get out, as you can imagine. Continue to pray for Barbara. Our sister Margaret Carey continues to make progress at this time. This week has been very slow in the progress. But you uphold her at the throne of grace. And then the others that are constantly before us on the prayer list. Adding in there John Hamilton. Do you remember this man who's getting treatment at this present time? We trust that the hand of God will be upon him and that he will know the touch of Christ in his life. Remember the messages that are going out every day. I want you to pray that God will continue to give me guidance. This morning was number 85. So we are pressing on with this ministry. We are encouraged by those who contact us. Many of them are in foreign countries. Some of them are in this country, but they don't belong to the Free Church family. But we're glad they're being reached and helped at this time. And of course, our own people in the congregation here. We trust that these messages will continue to be a help to you. Pray for all the broadcasts on a weekly basis, that God will bless everything that we're seeking to do, and for the voice of God to be heard in these days. We're always mindful of missionaries that are out in various countries. They also struggle with restrictions and the work that they can do because of the virus. And these are various lands working with various people that we're seeking to help and encourage and support. These are the names of missionaries that are still there on the mission field. Please remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. And the work of the Mission Board and all that it seeks to do. And these daily videos going out, not only from Hebron, but from Bangor, praying for the ministry of Josh Moffat as he continues to labour for Christ. Going back to last Lord's Day, it was lovely to see the children. I wasn't able to tune in yet to this morning, to the Sunday school, but we will get to look at that later. I was preaching in Pakistan. We had a video call for 3/4 of an hour. Where we spoke to the people. I'll tell you something about that in a moment or two. And then we had another video call in a different place for about 15 minutes. So this morning was a wee bit of a rush. But this is last week. And the children and the Sunday school superintendent, Andrew doing the memory verse, Jonathan and also Joanna bringing greetings to their Sunday school class, and Elaine bringing the message last Lord's Day. And the youth challenge on Tuesday night. Again, it's always lovely to see the children as they make contact with the church and recite the verses of Scripture. We have said already on Thursday night past that these words that they are reciting will go into their heart, will be a blessing to them for many, many years to come. The entrance of God's word gives light, we know that. And we trust that these children will be led along by the Lord and will know his blessing in the word as they read it, as they recite it, as they learn it, memorize it, get it into their heart, and then for the Holy Spirit of God to do his mighty work and bring blessing to the hearts and lives of these children. So you just look at them. Isn't it lovely to see the kids? And they mean so much to us in this congregation. We're able to help with a food aid package to Pakistan again, organized through our sister Freya, one of the ladies that we're in touch with in Pakistan. And this was the distribution of food to many families within the church there. Freya's little daughter, she got stung by what she called a yellow bee. You can see from this photograph how much that affected her eye. It was near the eye that this took place. She got medication, so she's feeling a good bit better than she was just the other day. And then I had the opportunity to preach this morning in Pakistan on the Psalm 23, reminding them that Jesus Christ the Shepherd is everything that we need, everything in life, everything in death, and everything in eternity. So that first call was for about 40 minutes or 45 minutes, and it was just good to see the congregation. This is screenshots, so they're not just maybe as good a quality as we would like. And then we moved on somewhere else, and over an hour later, an hour and 20 minutes later, I got another call just to speak to another group of people that we spoke to a couple of weeks ago. Over in Emmanuel Christian School and Church, a lot of work has been done, a seed program and teaching with the agricultural officer. This is ongoing over there. Hannah with one of the Ugandan families, lovely to see them, and they're seeking to do their wee bit for the Lord, and some of the crops there that the children are growing adjacent to the school. Now, these are all the announcements that we need to make. We sing together 423 for our next hymn. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. 423.
Thank you.
Amen. Now let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We continue with our study in the life of King Asa. And we come to a very encouraging portion of the Word of God. We're going to look at Asa, the encouraged king. Let's read these opening seven verses of 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And here's our text, verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Let's bow together and seek the Lord just for a moment's prayer, please. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we continue before thy great presence now in Jesus' name. We come to the open book of God, the word that God has given. And we believe that you have a message for us in our approach to the scriptures today. We pray for spiritual discernment and understanding. We pray for the teachable spirit that, Lord, you will bring us to the place where we will cry out in sincerity and with meaning in our hearts, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Lord, we pray for the instruction of the one who is our great teacher, the Holy Spirit. And so through the preaching of your word today, we ask thee that it will not merely be the voice of the preacher that is heard, but the voice of the great preacher, the Holy Ghost himself. Open up your word to us now and bless your church and encourage us in the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Asa, the encouraged king. And as we've said, we're taking verse 7 for the text. Be ye strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Everyone needs to be encouraged from time to time. And I'm all on for giving a word of exhortation and support that will inspire and motivate believers in their Christian walk to go on with the Lord. In fact, there's not enough messages of encouragement in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I don't know what it is with many people, and I'm not speaking about the Hebron congregation, but I'm speaking about Christians in general. I don't know what rotten spirit has rubbed off upon the professing church, but so many have become discouragers, complainers, and mumblers, and they always see the dark and the dismal side of things. Some people have made it their life's ambition to put down other Christians. We're living in the carnal age of criticism and fault finding. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't overlook sin. We deal with sin. And we don't believe in lying flatteries, but we do believe in helping a brother or a sister. We do believe in exhorting those dear servants of Christ who are seeking to serve the Lord. We do believe in lifting some stumbling child of God who has failed and fallen. We believe in encouraging some tried saint of the Lord who is weary with the battle. We believe in spurring one another on in the good fight of faith. That is biblical. We think of the words in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 22 through to 25. This is what the Word of God says. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These words are filled with exhortation. These words are filled with spurring God's people on. And the apostle here, writing to the Hebrews, he is telling them, let us do this, let us do that, let us do the other. A little bit earlier in the book, in chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Barnabas was such a disciple. I think most of you know that by now, that he was a great exhorter, a great encourager. In Acts chapter 11 and verses 23 and 24, it tells us that when he came, that is Barnabas, he was sent down to Antioch. When he came there and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. You see what he's doing? He's an exhorter. He's an encourager. He goes down to the church at Antioch, and he goes down there to uplift his brethren in the Lord. We are to do what Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3 exhorts us to do. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Or as Hebrews 12 and 12 tells us, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. God sent a prophet to King Asa here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. A man who was endowed, endued with the Holy Ghost of God. You see that from the opening verse that we read. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Here's a man with the anointing of God. And he goes forth not to criticize, not to dishearten the king, but to bring him a word of encouragement. It's very interesting that the prophet's name, Azariah, means Jehovah hath helped. I think that's a very appropriate name that this man has been given, for here he is to help the man of God, even King Asa. And he came after the battle. Zerah the Ethiopian had marched into Judah with his mighty army of 1 million soldiers and 300 deadly chariots of war. And his intention was to take over the nation and to make it his possession. But Asa, trusting solely in the God of battles, he went forth to victory. When Asa led his army back from war, Azariah was sent. Not to congratulate the army on their success and their triumph, but to tell them plainly upon what terms they stood with God. And you have it there in verse 2. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Azariah came to exhort the king to continue in the great work of reform that he had commenced in the nation, bringing him wonderful and gracious promises from the Lord. Now, of course, there was also this warning that we read there at the end of verse 2. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. So it's judgment in kind. You stick to the Lord will stick to you. You forsake the Lord will forsake you. In this era of history, there had been a great falling away. The work of two godless monarchs before Asa had left its mark, the mark of degeneration and decay. We read the very sad words in verse 3, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. So that was a very sad mark to be upon the nation. Idols had been taken away, or idols had taken the place, rather, of God. The men responsible for the proclamation of God's word, they failed miserably. They performed their altered duties, but they failed in their spreading of the knowledge of God. There was widespread lawlessness. The people are said to be without law, and that is particularly without the law of God. They were not living in accordance to God's law. There was also great warning among the nations, and civil strife among the people. We read it in verses 5 and 6. In those times there was no peace to him that went in, nor to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. The trouble and the unrest drove the people to their knees, where they found help in God, such as what we read in verse 4. When they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of him. This period of history demanded men of courage and fortitude, men of uprightness and godliness, who could give leadership in the land. And such was Asa. It was his task, divinely given to him, to lead the country back to the Lord. Because of the spiritual decay still pervading the land, and because of the turmoil and the trouble of the nations around about him, and due to the battle that he had just fought and won with the Ethiopians, God sent this messenger, this prophet, with a word of encouragement to exhort Asa and his people to stand up for God, to stand up for the truth, and to fight with vigor against sin and wickedness. And so we have the words of our text. Be ye strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. As a result, Asa grew more bold for God than he had been. He took even greater courage. He pulled down the idols of the nation. He renewed the altar of the Lord, and he sought and served God with greater intensity and sincerity. Now we read this particular portion of history, and we need to take heed to it. We need to apply the lessons that are here. We need to learn the up-to-date message. This, of course, is ancient history, going back many, many centuries. But when we bring it up to the modern day, there is so much for us to learn. We are living in similar days. A great apostasy has settled into the nation. Our people are ignorant of the true God. Idolatry, heathenism, and worldliness has displaced him. There is a blatant godlessness all around. And this is the age of lawlessness. Men are not living according to the law of God. And so we discover great unrest and trouble in the nation. The devil is launching his fiendish attacks in every sphere of life. And he's seeking to destroy the heritage of true Bible-based religion with the insurgence of false religion. He's trying to destroy our country with corruption in so many ways, including in high places. We have laws that are passed facilitating the most heinous and vile perversions imaginable. And we think of the same-sex marriages. We think of laws governing abortion. Diabolical, terrible laws that have been passed. Satan attempts to destroy our testimony with subtle temptations, afflictions, trials, and worldly care. The evil one desires to demolish our heritage and remove the foundations of our faith. Such an era calls for men of courage and valor. Men who are willing to stand up in an evil day. Men that are willing to speak out for the Lord. Men of reformation. And we need encouragement in this work. There's so much to discourage, isn't there, when you look all around us. And so we need encouragement. Oh, the devil would try to get our eyes off the greatness and the majesty of God. Heed him not, my friends. I believe the Lord has a word in season for us today. If we ever needed to stand for God, it is today. If we ever needed to be strong in the Lord, it is now. If we ever needed to recognize that there is an enemy to fight, namely the devil, it's in this present age. Let us use the words of our text to encourage the people of God to go forward with the Lord in these days. Now I want you to notice, first of all, the counsel that is exhorted. Be ye strong, therefore. Asa, because the days are dark and gloomy, because the nation has drifted from God into spiritual degeneracy and decay, because the state of religion has declined, because there is no peace but great vexations and trouble, be ye strong. And this is the very same counsel that the Lord would give to you and I today. This is God's will for your life and mine. He doesn't want us to be weak or feeble or impotent or unstable in our Christian experience. No, God wants us to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You ever noticed how often this command is used and this counsel is given? Let me just quote to you some of the texts. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8 to the people of God way back here as they are coming very soon to take possession of the promised land. Therefore ye shall keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. And then we think of the words in chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and will not fail thee nor forsake thee. In the next verse, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. And go down to verse 23. He gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. So the people of Israel needed to be strong. And Joshua, who would very soon assume the leadership of Israel, he needed to be strong in the Lord. And we think of when we come into the book of Joshua, the very same exhortation is given in that first chapter, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then you have it again at the end of that chapter in verse 18, just at the very end, the last little phrase there, only be strong and of a good courage. Can I just mention one other reference in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 10? Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary, be strong and do it. And again in verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it, and so forth and so on in this particular text. So over and over again, this exhortation is given to the Lord's people in every kind of situation of life, in every kind of battle that they'll have to face, in every kind of building work that they're going to be involved in. God wants his people to be strong, and he gives this counsel to us. Now, there are certain words, I believe, that can be used to describe how the believer ought to be strong. The first word that comes to mind is the word athlete. The word athlete is not mentioned in the scriptures, but there are many verses that demonstrate the principle of this term, because the believer is seen to be one who runs a race, like a sprinter, like an athlete. Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, encouraged the saints of God to embark upon this contest in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, a very familiar text. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to develop an athletic and energetic spirit so that we can run and not be weary. We are pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and therefore we need to keep our spiritual man fit and healthy. God wants us to run the race that is set before us, not to struggle on our hands and knees. Sometimes that's our sad experience, those who are weak and easily fatigued will not be able to run the race so well. As athletes are chosen for the Olympic Games, so God has chosen us and saved us to run for him. And of course we need a good diet, and the diet is in the Word of God and in prayer, the very means of grace that God has given to us to be strong. May we be like the great apostle who said at the end of the journey, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And so we think of the athlete. I also think of the soldier. This is a familiar name which depicts the believer. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Good soldiers ought to be strong, determined, and equipped for the battle. He who doesn't train and exercise will not be very efficient when confronted by the enemy. As soldiers of the Lord, let us be courageous. We are not to be cowardly at the first sight of the enemy and abandon the battlefield and desert the captain of our salvation. No, my friends, we are to stand up. Stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. And so God would say, be strong as a good soldier. The athlete, the soldier, what about the workman? 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This term workman expresses toil and diligent labor. Perhaps it's akin to the manual worker who labors with his hands and with his back. A feeble, framed, sickly individual would not be much benefit on the roads with a shovel and a pick, but one that is robust and well-built and strong would be good for the job. And so it is in the spiritual realm. We are laborers together for God, expending our energy for the glory of God, and so we are to be strong. It is important to realize that of ourselves, we are weak, and so we must draw our strength from heavenly resources. Hour by hour, as the tides of the golden sunshine are quietly absorbed by flowers, plant life, and great trees, so we need to absorb the power that comes from above, like Jehoshaphat going into battle. We read about this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We have no might. That's our confession. This is our weakness. But our eyes are upon the Lord. And if I'm going to have success and I'm going to know the victory, well then, it's got to come from the Lord himself, and my eyes are on him. We need to pray like Nehemiah prayed. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Maybe you think that you are strong enough of yourselves. Don't be deceived. When you think you are strong, you will fail, because you're not depending upon divine power. Paul says, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And what he's saying is, whenever I sense and realize my inability, my personal weakness, well, then I am strong. Why? Because I'm depending upon divine might. He drew his power from above. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so there is this counsel that is exhorted, be ye strong therefore. Then there is the caution expressed, and let not your hands be weak. We need to be very careful that our defenses are not weakened. Diligence on the part of the Christian is of utmost importance, lest the enemy break through the walls of resistance. And there are several ways in which our hands can be weakened, and thus we need to pay particular attention to these areas. For the Lord says, let not your hands be weakened. The first area where our hands can be weakened is that of faithlessness. Those who fail to keep their trust in the Lord for help and power in times of need are letting their hands become weakened. Those who do not rely upon the mighty God of battles, but try to fight the devil in their own steam and might, they will be powerless against the enemy. It was unbelief that eventually led to the downfall of King Asa in chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Sometimes, you know, we're guilty of walking by sight and not by faith. Perhaps our eyes get captivated by some trouble or affliction, and our gaze is not on the Lord. We fail to depend upon the covenant-keeping God. We fail to cast our burden upon the Lord. Maybe we even blame him for the trials and the problems that cause our doubt and make us waver. Well, my friends, this will weaken our hands. We must have faith in God. We must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. So faithlessness can cause our hands to be weakened. Prayerlessness can certainly cause weakness when we ignore the place of prayer, when we refuse to spend time with God in the closet, then we become easy prey for the devil. You know this, and so do I. When Asa was in trouble, in chapter 14 and verse 11, he cried out to God and he obtained the victory, as we know. And the Lord stepped in when he cried and realized that he had no power, couldn't overcome the enemy, but God intervened and God gave the victory. But when he was in trouble in the 16th chapter, just look there at verse 12, Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He ignored God. And how sad this history becomes. The ruler who had once sought the Lord, who had been faithful in prayer, who made a special covenant with God as he did. In chapter 15 and verses 12 and 13, he entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all his heart and with all his soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether great, whether man, whether small or great, whether man or woman. His hands were weakened when he left off praying. Do you remember the terms that were set down very, very clearly by the prophet in verse 2? The Lord is with you while you be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. If ye forsake him, he will forsake you. I wonder, my friends, have you left off praying? Have you ceased to really lay hold upon God? Have you faltered in your prayer life? Have you stopped coming to the throne of grace? Am I speaking to some believer out there today? And this is you. I know we can't meet in the public times of prayer, but maybe before the lockdown, you had given up on the prayer meetings of the church. And maybe even today, you've given up on your personal times of prayer, and you have forsaken the Lord in this respect. Is that you today? You recall sweet and blessed times of communion and victories that God has given to you, but now you're weak because you've left off praying. If we neglect to seek the throne of God, well, then we're only punching a hole, as it were, in our vessel, allowing the enemy to come in like a flood. And if he gets the opportunity, I tell you this, the enemy will sink your ship. He will. We need to guard against pursuing a prayerless life. Neglectfulness of God's word will weaken your hands. Our faith and dependence upon God is strengthened by the word. The more we spend with the Bible, the deeper our faith will be. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The book of God is our strength. It is indeed our wisdom. The sword of the Spirit is our defensive weapon. It's the very bread of life to our souls. You stop reading and studying the scriptures, and you will deprive your soul of its necessary food. Without that food, we shall shrivel up spiritually, and we will become weak without resistance. We're living in an age of neglect, of Bible neglect. Men are neglecting God's word. You can hardly get people to study the Bible in these days. You can hardly get them to attend Bible weeks when that is possible. No wonder there is so much weakness, infirmity, defeat, and frustration. All these things weaken us, brethren and sisters, and we need to be careful about it. Sinfulness will weaken us. Sin has crept in. Is that right? You've given in to temptation, no matter how small. You've allowed the devil into one area of your life. Well, my friends, it'll not be long before he tempts you into another area, and he will not be satisfied until he controls your life more and more. You take your defenses down. You let your resistance run low, and you're asking for trouble. As watchmen, we ought to be looking out for the enemy. Let us not submit to any temptation that Satan dangles before our eyes. Oh no, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And laziness will weaken you. There's one sure thing, and that is Satan preys upon idle people. If you are at a loose end and you laze around, then your hands are weakened, because the devil always finds something for idle hands. I'm not referring to genuine needed rest and relaxation. But if you have nothing to do, well, then the devil will always find something to occupy your time. You think of David. Very sad story in the life of David. He sent Joab to battle. Joab went out to lead Israel in the fight whenever David should have been at the head as the king. David, we're told, tarried still at Jerusalem. He had idle time, and therefore his hands were weakened. And as he walked upon the roof of his house, he spied Bathsheba, you remember, washing herself, and he inquired after her, and he took her, and he committed adultery with her. He should have been on the battlefield contending with the enemy. This should never have happened, but the devil found something for his idle hands. There's a lesson for each of us. If the mighty men of God fail, and they fail by idleness, then we need to beware. Let your hands be so busy that they will shut out anything that the devil would lure you to. Stay on the battlefield and don't find time for the devil and his temptations. One little thought in closing. There is the consolation exclaimed here. For your work shall be rewarded. God is going to reward those who are strong and steadfast and faithful. The work that we do for God, not for ourselves, shall be recompensed. There may be battles and struggles to face. The forces of hell may attack us from every angle. Some may fail or get wounded in the fight. The days may be clad in darkness. The prospect at times may be bleak. But be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Take heart, my friends. Be encouraged. Keep at the work. Press on with the Lord. Don't forsake the ranks. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge, because your labor shall be rewarded. Oh, it's so easy to become discouraged and downhearted, tired and weary in your service. But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We will endure hardness. We will face abuse. We will be treated with contempt. But remember, all our efforts for God will not go unnoticed. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12, as we think there of that little section that deals with the Beatitudes, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." There may be the tough times, Jesus is saying. There may be persecution. Many things might be said against you. But you keep at the work, and you rejoice because your labor will be rewarded. Paul reminds us that our labor is not in vain. We shall reap if we faint not. Often we are rewarded with blessings and prosperity here upon the earth. And we see the joy and the fulfillment of God's work. And we see souls come to Christ. And we see blessing upon the work of God. But ultimately, for every child of God, our reward is future. It's in the life that is yet to be. It is in heaven itself. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, says the Lord Jesus, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Be ye strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Let us pray. Our Father, we're living in days when we might be discouraged. We think of all that coronavirus has done to the work of God as far as being able to be together in the building here, being able to carry on with the work in a normal way. being able to go out into the open air or onto the doors, all these things that are so important to us in your service, visiting others, witnessing to others. We think of all the discouragement that the devil would bring through circumstances of life, through discouragements around us. But gracious God, we need to be strong, and we pray for strength. And we don't want our hands to be weak. Oh, may we not be weakened in these things that we've mentioned. But help us to keep our eye on the goal. Our work shall be rewarded. Thank thee for the blessings in this life. Thank thee for the seals to the ministry here on earth. But we praise thee for the treasures in heaven. Oh, will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? Help us, Lord, to labor with eternity's values in view and to work for the Master, knowing that our labor will be rewarded in that better land. Bless your church. Bless us this Sabbath. Continue with us through the afternoon. And as we come again to join each other this evening, pour out the Holy Spirit and your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Once again, we thank you for tuning in to Hebron today. Trust the Lord will bless you as you seek to serve him. Keep out the work. Be faithful to him. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. And know your work shall be rewarded. Amen.